This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. And alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiru wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Before I forget, إخواني, tomorrow, inshallah, after tomorrow, the weather people, based upon the knowledge that they have of the weather, are forecasting that we're going to have some serious heat here in the UK, all over Europe. And we should take precautions, especially those people who are vulnerable from amongst us. Be aware of that. Some of us are not aware of what's going on in the news and so forth and so on. I know in Leeds last week, for me, I love the hot weather, never complain, but it was pretty hot for a lot of people. So inshallah, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are going to be some difficult days according to what they're projecting, so khudu hidrakum, take your precautions. Secondly, we're going to suspend the class today to deal with two issues, both of which are very important. The first one is something concerning a translation of the Quran called the Clear Quran, not the Noble Quran, the Clear Quran. Translated from Arabic into English. Anybody heard of that translation before? The Clear Quran. Yesterday, I think it was, there was a text or something that went around on social media, and in that text, or the body of what was being mentioned, someone was warning against this translation. And an example was given that this translation was making the tahrif of the names and the attributes of Allah, his attributes. And the way of people of the Sunnah, people who follow the companions, may Allah Azza wa Jalla be pleased with all of them, is that as it relates to Allah's names and attributes, we establish them. We don't explain them away. We believe in them. The way they come, we take them and we embrace them. We don't make tahrif of them. We don't make ta'wil of them. We don't make tafweed of them. We say that whatever that name is, whatever that attribute is, Allah knows the reality of it, and we believe in it. And the formula that we've mentioned many times in this masjid is the formula of the great scholar of Islam, Imam Malik, one of the Imams of the four madhahib. He was a man who was tenaciously upon the sunnah and the way of the salaf of this ummah. And that's clear in his book of al-hadith, al-muwatta. He called to it, he defended it, and he stood up for it. And there's a formula that you just have to remember when a man from the people who do this, Allah's attributes, that he mentions in the Quran, the Sunnah, or the Prophet mentions, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People can't get their heads around those attributes, so they explain them away. And Imam Ahmed, and Imam Malik was asked about Allah's istiwa. You guys have to remember this. If you don't write anything else, you don't write in the class, you have to remember this. You have to commit this to memory, not verbatim, but understanding. They asked Al-Imam Malik, the man asked him about Allah's characteristic of Al-Istiwa. Al-Istiwa means to rise above. It has other meanings. It can mean to overcome and overwhelm the enemy. It could mean that. But Allah mentioned in the Quran, Ar-Rahman, Al-Arshistawa. Allah is over his throne. He rose above his throne in a way that befits his majesty. Do we know the details of that? La wallahi. The way the airplane goes up, does Allah go up in that way? La wallahi. All of that happened in a way that befits his majesty. The Prophet said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not a single companion asked how, when, where, why, explain the detail. They just said, we believe. That's it. Just like the Qadr. You can't get your head around the Qadr. Doesn't the ayat of the Quran say about Allah Azza wa Jal, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِي يَا مُحَمَّدٍ. If your companions, the people, if they ask about me, very I'm close to all of them. If they make dua to me, I'll answer their dua. That's an ayat of the book of Allah. We just finished Arafat. 1,200,305,500,000 Muslims were at Arafat making dua. We were fasting all across the globe. 1.7 billion Muslims from this ummah. We were making dua and fasting. And the dua of the faster is accepted with Allah. And this ayah said, tell them, if you want to know about Allah, Allah is close. He answers the dua of those who call on him. So now, can a Muslim come and say, well, why is it that our ummah is so weak? Why is it that that hadith we took last week is applicable to our ummah this week as well? That all of the nations are about to converge against this ummah the way the diners converge on a plate. We're all making dua. Allah does what he wants. You can't get your head around that totally. It could be easily said that, well, we're not practicing the religion the correct way, so the result of that is we make dua and the dua is not accepted. That can be part of it. But there has to be awliya from amongst the Muslims who are making dua. There has to be religious people. People have taqwa from the elders, from the oppressed. So it's not for you or me to put our feet in the arena like that. The believer says, we hear and we obey. That's it. So as it relates to this, the man said to Imam Malik, how did Allah go over his throne? Explain to me how it happened. And Imam Malik gave him a formula for all of Allah's names and all of Allah's attributes. He said, al-istiwa is ma'lum. The word istiwa is known what it means by the Arabs. Just like it is known, nazul, what it means. A hand is known, fingers is known, foot is known, the shin is known. All of those things are known. In the Arabic language, it's known. It's not ambiguous. He says, sallallahu radiallahu anhu rahmatullahi alayhi, and to believe in it is wajib because it's in the Quran. He said, how? The reality of it is not known. We don't know the reality of it. How Allah comes down at the last third of every night. We don't know that. But we know he does that. The last third before Salatul Fajr, anyone who's praying, anyone who's making dua, anyone wants forgiveness, Allah will forgive them. The Mahdi is coming. Ad-Dajjal is coming. Ya'juj and Ma'juj is coming. How in the world, as a revert who graduated from Medina, I'm going to put my foot in the arena of start asking how, why, when, where. And as a non-Arab even, as an Ajami, if I start speaking Arabic, reading the Quran, any Arabic knows, I'm not an Arab. We make mistakes. And here I come, Johnny come lately, and I start being opinionated. And I don't know anything. So Imam Malik said those four things. He said, al-istiwa, the characteristic is known, whatever the characteristic is. The reality of it is unknown. We don't know the reality and the details of it. That's from the ilm al-ghayb, from what Allah kept with himself. Allah has names. We don't even know those names of Allah. Allah has names. The hadith said Allah has 99 names. Whoever memorizes them will go into Jannah. There's a hadith in the dua that he has names that he didn't teach anybody what those names are. So he didn't tell people everything. So the characteristic is known. The reality of it, how? We don't know. To believe in it is wajib. It's wajib because it's in the Quran. And to ask questions about it is an innovation. Don't ask questions about it. That's simple. You got to go away understanding what I just said, inshallah. It's a principle that'll protect you. And when people start coming, like another man went to Imam Malik in order to debate with him about these issues. Yeah, Imam Malik, I want to debate with you about this ayah. He put his fingers in his ears. Not like a child who's immature, but to show the people and to make mubalagha, to teach that guy, nah, I'm not debating you about anything. You go and look for someone who doesn't know his religion and you debate with him. And he left. This time right now, the time of social media and the millennials, this is one of the best things you can do right now. Because everybody has an opinion on social media. Everybody has an opinion. This is the time to use that. You go and look for someone who doesn't know his religion. As for me, a Salafi is the truth. I don't have to learn about al-Ash'ari or anything other than that. I don't need that. I don't need to know about your ghulu and the way that you understand Islam. So today, inshallah, as it relates to this issue of the Quran, the clear Quran, the person had said and claimed in their post that the one who translated this clear Quran has translated on other than the way of the Salaf, the way Al-Imam Malik understood what I just told you. So without doing due diligence and reading everything and going back and reading that Quran, the clear Quran, and finding out what did the mutarjim, the brother who translated it, what did he say was his way and what did he do and why did he do it? To understand, like Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Al-Imam Muslim. They have those books in which they explain to the people the hadith that I'm putting in my book, it has conditions. I expect my hadith, I want my hadith to reach these conditions. Now, you can't blame Al-Imam al-Bukhari and say that he brought a hadith that's weak in it when he knew that hadith was weak. He was bringing it for a reason, for an example. So we have to go to see what the translator or the author is saying in order to figure out where is he going with this. So I didn't do that. It wasn't done from my side. Just something was read. And I know the way of the Salaf, and so I took that and posted it on Facebook. And then I got a call from a brother who's very close to me, used to live here in the UK. Many of the brothers know him from way back in the day. He is none other than the Imam, the Sheikh Mu'tasim Al-Hamidi. I like to call him Al-Humaydi, after the Sheikh of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Abdullah ibn Al-Zubayr Al-Humaydi, rahmatullah alayhi, and we did his aqid in this class, Usul al-Sunnah. This brother is a hafiz of the Quran. His name, Mu'tasim Al-Hamidi Al-Humaydi. He is currently the imam in the Masjid Abu Huraira in Toronto. He used to be the imam in Luton, one of our brothers from Jordan. He's from the Afrah, inshallah, from the Jordanian Salafia of our Sheikh and the Imam Al-Albani. He was a student of Sheikh Abu Suhaib, Hafidhullah Ta'ala. Not only is he a hafiz of the Quran, this Arab brother, not only that, but he is excellent in his Arabic language. If you were to talk to him on the phone without seeing him, you wouldn't be able to detect or tell he's an English speaker. So he's from the people of At-Takhassus. He's not like me. I didn't memorize the Quran. He's not like you. You don't know Arabic. You didn't memorize the Quran. We're all A'ajim. That's not to put anyone down. But know your place. Know your place, that's all. Know your place. I have to know my place. Everybody has to know his place. He left me a message with adab. And he said, listen, let me tell you something about what I saw on your Facebook. And he told me about the brother, and he told me about what was going on. I didn't have any problem. When I went and I looked at the Facebook, I saw the situation, and I saw the brother had commented. I didn't know the brother yet. His name is Mustafa Al-Khattab, Hafidhullahu Ta'ala. He has a PhD in translations from Al-Azhar. He lives in Canada. He knows English. He knows Arabic. He translated the Quran. And I saw in the comment on my Facebook that it said something like, A'udhu billahi min su'a dhan. Wallahi, that sentence hit me in the head when I read that. Hit me in the head because I don't want to have su'a dhan about the Muslims. That's a characteristic I don't want. I don't want to be a person who makes shirk. I don't want to be a person who shows off. I don't want to be a person who has jealousy of people. My brother here, Abu Isa, he has a nice beard. I wish I had a beard like him. But I don't have a beard like him. Mashallah. There are people who have hasid because Allah blessed us. I don't want to have those kind of characteristics. So when I read, A'udhu Billahi Min Su'a Dhan, right after I had spoke to Mu'tasim, I erased that, got that thing off of the internet. And then I looked and the brother contacted me, so we spoke. I apologized to him. And then he began to explain what his book was about. I want to say a few things right now concerning this clear Quran that I endorse. The clear Quran that I encourage you to read. In 1986, when I became a Muslim, the only Qurans that we had access to were the Qurans that were very problematic. May Allah have rahmah and maghfirah on all of those people, Yusuf Ali and all of those people, Pickthall, all of those people. I don't know is Pickthall a Muslim or not, but those people who were Muslims, may Allah have rahmah upon them, especially back then, a long time ago. People didn't know Salafi in the West like that anyway. But those Qurans, the translation, the language, that old English, Queen's English, oh, for how art thou, Romeo, that kind of stuff. Nobody talk like that. Nobody talk like that. That's one of the turnoffs of the Bible. And before I forget, another brother told me in this clear Quran, sometimes in referring to the Bible, the brother who translated the clear Quran and trying to make a point, he'll bring the Bible and he'll say, Moses said this, 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 as if it is an authority. So I'm going to say, talking to the brother, he's educated. I'm sure that that brother knows that the Injil is tampered with. So when we give dawah to people and we want to reference that the Bible is saying this or the Torah is saying that, we should say it is said in the Bible. But I have to have husn al-dhan. I know that brother knows that. I didn't see that, I didn't read that, but someone who I know is involved in dawah, and I asked him about the book, and that was something that he told me, that he had read that book, and that when he refers to the Bible, he refers to the Bible as if it is an authority. But I know, inshallah, that that brother knows that the Bible has been corrupted. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلَمَ الْمُوَانِعِهِ الْمُوَاضِعِهِ. I'm sure he knows that. I wanted to throw that out there so I wouldn't forget that, inshallah. Anyway, Ikhwani, I want to mention a few things. First of all, when Abu Bakr and Umar went to Zayd ibn Thabit, may Allah be pleased with them, and told Zayd ibn Thabit, that young man, we want to commission you, Zayd, who was only 18, 17 years old. You're going to bring the Quran together. It's in everyone's heart. It's on papers. It's written on pieces of wood. It's written on leather. It's scattered all over. People memorized it. People memorized half of it. They said, we want you to bring the Quran together as we have it today. Zayd said, no, I'm not going to do that because Prophet Muhammad never did that. If this was from the religion, he would have done it. That's how the companions were. We're not doing any mawlid if the Prophet didn't do it. You got to bring the dalil to do the mawlid. Rasulullah never did that. So Abu Bakr and Umar began to give him proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah that show and indicate that the Quran is a book, ذَٰلِكَ الْكِتَابَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. They started reading these ayat and these ahadith. لَا يُسَافِرَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ مَعَ الْمُصْحَفِ إِلَىٰ عَرْضِ الْعَدُوِ. No one should travel to the land of the enemy with the mushaf. Rasulullah said mushaf, and there was no mushaf yet. When Zayd was listening with sincerity to learn and to find out, is it true, what's being claimed, he was convinced. He said, okay, I'll do it. Abu Bakr, Umar, they brought me the dalil. He said, when I decided to do it, and this is the point, he said, they commissioned me and made me responsible to move Mount Uhud from where it is to another place. That would have been easier. So, ikhwani, doing the tafsir or doing the translation of the Quran is a monumental feat. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's not for the punks and the chumps and the lazy people. It's for the people who have ulu al-himma. People who have things to do can't just do like that. And I have to say this as well. This brother, Yasir Qadi, Dr. Yasir Qadi, saddad Allah his mistakes and our mistakes, and may Allah increase us in guidance and guide him. I said many times from here, the best book that I've ever seen in English as it relates to the ulum of the Quran is the book that he wrote. Do I keep my mouth shut so that you people won't know about the benefit of that book? And if you go there, now you're going to get and fall into all of that other madness? Well, that's something I have to weigh. Now, I'm going to tell you, that is a beneficial book that should be in your library. There's no book like it in English. Similar to the book of Dua, The Weapon of the Muslim. The Sifatul Salatul Nabi was translated by a person who is now saying Adam has been created for monkeys. So do I say don't sell that book? Don't read that book? Would someone come and say, oh, I'm Mumayyah, and I'm preaching poison if I said, Ya Akhi, the best explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari is Fathul Bari by Imam Ibn Hajar. Get that book. The best explanation of the Sahih of al-Imam Muslim is the explanation of al-Imam an-Nawawi. Both of them were from the Asha'ira. Both of them, when it comes to Allah's attributes, they made some mistakes, what I'm telling you not to do. But the two books that I just mentioned, la mathila laha, no book like those two books. No book like those two books. So we're living in a time right now where you young brothers come into the religion and you've been getting a steady diet of refutations, the vulture culture. So when something like this happens, we don't know what to do. And that's part of the reason of the fold and the confusion that has come from this refutation culture, to the point where I have to now make a disclaimer. I'm not against refuting, but refute with evidence and edib and hikmah and at the right place and time, Islamically. We have to make that point, because people will say, he said refutation is not from the religion, and then they make podcasts about that and PDFs. And no, we went overboard. Ala kullin, I want to mention these few things. Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِي اسْمَ اللَّهِ وَسَعَ فِي خَرَابِهَا. Who is worse than the one who stops the people and prevent the people from going to the Masjid al-Haram or to any masjid? They stop them from coming to the masjid where the name of Allah is going to be mentioned, the Quran, his names, his attributes, his ahkam. Who's worse than that? And they're trying to destroy the masjid as well. That ayah was revealed about the kuffar of Quraysh, first and foremost, who tried to stop Rasulullah and the Muslims from worshiping in Mecca. But that ayah is applicable to the admin of GLM. It's applicable to Abu Usama and the khutaba at GLM. It's applicable to any imam who reads the Quran too long and then the people run away. And nafikum munafirin, as the Prophet said. Some of you people run the people away. They don't want to come to the masjid. That ayat is applicable to the woman or the women who bring their children, and their children are running all around like they don't have any adab, screaming. You guys are falling into this ayat. The next ayat is the statement of Allah Ta'ala describing the non-Muslims. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ لِيُصُدُّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The non-Muslims spend their money, those who disbelieve, to stop people from coming to the way of Allah. They make policy, foreign, domestic. They spend their money in many ways to stop people from coming to the way of Allah. That can be you, bringing people who are people of innovation and shirk and khurafat. We fly people from overseas to come here to teach nonsense, to teach what's going to be hurtful and harmful. Don't be like that. That's the second ayat. The last and final ayat is what Allah mentioned about the kuffar. And I'm connecting all these ayat to people who get in the arena and say, don't read that Quran, don't take that Quran, and you didn't do your due diligence. Allah mentioned in the Quran about the non-Muslims, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَأَلْغُوا فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ. And those people disbelieve in Mecca, they said to the other disbelievers, don't listen to this Quran. And when he reads it, then make noise. So they used to make music. They used to make a clamor. Whenever the Prophet would read for Salat, or he would read, they would make noise to turn the people on, away. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ. So that you can win. Do you warn against that Quran because you didn't translate that translation? Is that why you're warning against the translation? So that you can have something over him in your mind? Are you doing that? Are you doing that because he's not from your side? Because wallahi akhwani, from what I heard, you shouldn't read that clear Quran because the brother doesn't say he's Salafi. You shouldn't read the clear Quran because the brother, he doesn't say I'm Ahl Sunnah. He says I'm Ahl Sunnah, but he doesn't say I'm Salafi. I said, Fakana Mada. So what, he didn't say it was Salafi? That's like the whacked out thing I heard one time when a brother gave a khutbah in the masjid where I was the imam and I traveled. When he gave the khutbah, he didn't do khutbatul hajah. When I came back, they said, oh, he gave the khutbah, I don't think he's Salafi. I thought they're going to tell me. The guy said, the brother said something. Said, he didn't say khutbatul hajah before it started. Ya akhi, not saying khutbatul hajah means that you're not Salafi. And saying khutbatul hajah means that you're Salafi. This is the janoon that has happened. And the janoon that is prevalent. And we are not the only ones who do things like this. This is the condition of our community, our ummah. I'm just calling it out the way it is, not washing our dirty laundry out. All of the jama'at are like this. All of them are madhahib. But as the Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen said, rahmatullahi alayhi, those people who are Salafi are closer to the truth. And the way we're practicing Islam as an ummah, many of the groups, personalities, they have truth, batil. When it comes to understanding the religion and practicing the religion, the people who call themselves Salafis, in his opinion, in my opinion, are closer to the truth. But does that mean they're perfect? La wallahi. You're a Salafi. Are you perfect? Are you perfect? None of us are perfect. But that's just not a reflection on us. So that I get back to the point, inshallah, I get done with this very quickly. I want to just make it very clear. I don't accept what the people were saying. You have to go back and you have to do your due diligence. Read what was mentioned in the introduction. One of the things that I heard in the way of criticizing this translation was the brother appeared on a program that has gotten a lot of traction, and the podcast or program is set up in the way of being an interview. And that brother's name is Shabir Ali. Back in the day, when the Salafi was spreading in America, North America, Shabir Ali was one of the brothers who was pumping the dawah and teaching. And the latter times, he has started to say things that are not pleasing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him, forgive us, increase us in guidance, and him in guidance. I'm not telling you this to go back and to check that stuff out. I'm just saying the truth is the truth. One of the criticisms is the brother went on that show. And if he goes on that show, then it yastalzim. It must mean he's like those people who are... I looked at the program, and to be honest with you, I got benefit from the program because I understood from the brother, as they say, from the horse's mouth, not calling him a horse, but as they say in English, from the horse's mouth with an isnad island. He explained because the interviewer, Shabir Ali, wasn't even on the program. First of all, he wasn't on a program. Second thing is the interviewer was asking him, well, with all of these translations of the Quran, why do we need another one? And he explained the hikmah and the illah. So if you wanted to know, you would have gotten that understanding from that program itself. You would have understood that. So these lawazim are a problem. And as I said, Ikhwani, I know the way people think today, the way this is. The Salaf didn't sit with innovators. That's true. But don't hijack these types of issues and take them out of context. Practice them the way you want to practice them to make the tahqiq of your political desires. That brother sitting on that program, when I listened to that program, I understood what he was trying to do. So I condone and I endorse that clear Quran. Another disclaimer, that does not mean by any stretch of the imagination that everything in that Quran is clear or without criticism. There is no translation of the Quran except that it is muftaqir, it's faqir, because it's not the Arabic language. Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyyan la'allakum ta'qilun. We revealed this Quran in Arabic so that you would know. Not in English. English does not render the understanding. German language, Dutch language, Japanese, Chinese, and on and on and on and on. But alhamdulillah, those so-called living languages of the world today, the living languages, the main languages, Spanish, English, these languages, people have come and they translated the Quran, and it's not easy to do that. So don't be of those people who these ayat, they are applying to you. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَأَلْغُوا فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ. Make noise. Don't listen to this Quran. People are in need of the Quran. There's two sheikhs, Sheikh Taqi al-Din al-Hilali and Sheikh Muhsin Khan. They did a translation of the Quran. What is it called? What is it called? Huh? The Noble Quran. The Glorious Quran. Which one is that? Al-Muhim, the Noble Quran is beautiful. But if you look at the Noble Quran, there are many parentheses where they're explaining the meaning. You wouldn't be able to understand the ayat without those parentheses. So the parentheses sometimes are long, and it doesn't have that free flow if you're reading it. It doesn't have that free flow. That was something about Yusuf Ali's Quran in the back, Pickthall's Quran in the back, their translation. At least it read free-flowing. But when you read this Quran, where they give you the tafsir of Al-Qurtubi and Ibn Kathir and Al-Tabari between, it doesn't have the continuity that a reader likes. People read, you like to read, you lose that flow. So it could be criticized. So one of the criticisms, and this is what I saw, the criticism has said that when it came to the, for an example, the wajh of Allah, one of Allah's many characteristics is that he has a face. And he has a face that befits his majesty. أينما تولوا فثمّ وجه الله. When you pray, east, west, north, south, dua, you're going to find the face of Allah. So if you accidentally pray that way, Allah still hears your prayers and sees your prayers. You did it accidentally. You make dua. Allah is there. He's everywhere in his knowledge. One ayah said, وَكُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانًا وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, everything on the earth is going to be destroyed. Everything. And the only thing that will remain is the face of Allah. Al-Jalal al-Ikram. His face is Al-Jalal al-Ikram. One of the Salaf said, when you read this ayat, don't make the waqf. Wa kullu man alayha fan. Don't stop there. But make the wasl and keep reading it. So the example was this, that it was mentioned in the translation, everyone on the earth, everything on the earth will be destroyed except Allah. Wajhullah. But it said except Allah. And then down here, it explained down here, Allah has a characteristic which is face and this and that. So the person felt that that was ta'wil and tahrif. But the brother himself talked about that. And then the other thing is, why did he say Allah? Why did he say Allah when Allah's face was mentioned? Why didn't it say everything will be destroyed except Allah's face and that's it? Just Allah's face. Why did he say Allah? Because when you go back to the tafasir of Ibn Kathir and the rest of them, that's what you're going to find them saying. Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahmatullahi alayhi, he was asked about the meaning of this ayat. He said the ayat means everything on the earth is going to be destroyed. The jinn, human beings, the sky, everything. The trees, the water, everything is going to be destroyed. The only thing that will remain is Allah. Where did he get that from? From the tafsir. Just like that brother Mustafa al-Khattab. May Allah Azza wa Jalla put though that juhud of his in the mawazin of Hasanat Yawm al-Qiyamah. For him, his mother, his father, grandmother, grandfather, all the way to MashaAllah. So last thing I want to mention about this point, Ikhwani, is listen. That ayat of the Quran, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. This is the time that we have to be on that stuff. If anybody comes to you with some news, ascertain as to its reality. Don't be too quick. Make it your minhaj, not to send things out right away. Even if you're impressed with it. Because a lot of times there's stuff in there. I saw this African-American boy. He went up to a police officer, African-American cop, who was in the cop car. And the little boy was talking to the cop. He sounded like a Christian. He was saying, you know, I'm a minister and I got to preach and let these people know about God, hallelujah. And he sounded like a preacher to me. And then at the end of what he was saying, the guy said, what's your name? He said, Muhammad Hassan. And then when you listen to what he said, he was giving dawah. It didn't mean he had to be a Christian, but it sounded like a Christian before he said his name. And then people started sending that around. Look at the dawah of this little boy. I know an old head back in America. Actually, I know an old head back in East Orange, New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey, living in New York right now. He looked at the thing, and he looked at the police officer's uniform. You know how our wives are, Sherlock Holmes and stuff. They be looking at stuff. The married brothers know what I'm talking about. If you send a picture of your wife, you wear glasses, and you say, I'm over here, she'll see the reflection in your glasses. You at the soccer game. That's what she does. So that brother, he looked, he saw the guy was from Chicago, the police officer. He put all that together. He said, I think that little boy could be from the Nation of Islam because that's how they talk. And that's how it is today. Take your time. Take your time. Take a day, 2-3 days before you send stuff out. I just saw a thing where they were warning against the Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili. He's going to come here. I wish I can go and attend that. I wish I can go and get benefit. A Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili is a faqih and an usuli, a good speaker, person who has knowledge. Is he perfect? No. No, not at all. He's not perfect. And I definitely don't agree with all of the mawaqif that he took, but he's from our ulama and he's mufid. Because the people who were bringing him used to be with these other ghulat. I'm going to warn against him? I'm not going to warn against him. Have I lost my mind? No, I have my aql. But I'm sure some of you saw that text message that was going around where he was being warned of. Was that really from that brother, though? Was it really from that brother? So because you don't like the brother who it was said he wrote it, now he does things like that, but that doesn't mean he did it. It doesn't mean it. So before you send it out saying that this is Abu Khadija's kalam, you have to ascertain. وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعَدِلُوا, be just. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Don't let a person's animosity and enmity that you have towards them cause you not to be just. We've seen those brothers do that kind of stuff. That's their dawah. Their main sheikh, that's what he does. So they learned that from the people, and it's not weird. But now the issue is a ظلمات يوم القيامة, oppressing people, is going to be darkness يوم القيامة. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Be fair and just. For yourself, against yourself. And that's one of the characteristics of Ahl Sunnah, Haqqa, is that if something is for them or against them, they're going to take it. As long as it's the truth. It's for them or against them, they don't care. After mentioning that, Ikhwani, I want to make mention now of the second issue. And that is, I don't remember exactly who had died, but in our masjid here, I was giving a talk about this person who had died. Had a lot of people who died, even after Corona and during Corona. I don't remember in my life so many people dying in multitudes, but people dying the sudden death. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mawtul faj'a rahatul mu'min. To die quickly and unexpected, you don't know, that's a rahmah for the believer. As opposed to having cancer and your sickness is prolonged. We have relatives who are like that. We have relatives. The man, may Allah have rahmah upon Abu Zayd from America. And the lady he was married to, Abu Zayd, rahmatullah alayhi. That man, when I heard about the struggles he went through, I could just see how tough that was. People have cancer in the stomach, that pain. You have to take opium. You have to take stuff. What's that ingredient in weed? THC. They administer THC to the people to calm them down. Pain. Now, dying like that has its virtues as well, because it's a kafara, all of that suffering, you're forgiven, inshallah, for your sins. But if you die suddenly, it's a rahmah. And then he said in that same hadith that dying unexpectedly is like a punishment for the non-Muslim. He didn't prepare himself. He didn't become a Muslim. His affairs are in disarray. He didn't make Tawbah and all of those issues. So we had in this masjid two young people who died in about 10, 11 days, 12 days. The son of the young brother Hamza, the son of Master Israr Khan, the owner of Hamd House, Hafidhullah Ta'ala. Hamza studied in Al-Madinah. Rahmatullahi alayhi, went to Scotland and he drowned. May Allah Ta'ala write him amongst the shuhada. They found his property and things like that. I received that text message when I was in Leeds. And I knew Hamza. I know his father very well. And the father sent me the thing. That was like 2 weeks ago, young brother. And then just the other day, one of our students, a brother who has practically grown up in this halakha. There are not too many people here. None of you, I'm not putting anybody down. None of you have attended more classes here in Green Lane than I've given more than that brother, other than Nurul Islam, Nuruddin at Cameroonie. There was another family of Somali kids, Ishaq, Yaqub, Ibrahim. They jumped ship and they went over to Masjid al-Sunnah. And they went to the Somalis and they left us. But I say, go ahead, brother. Masjid al-Sunnah, I endorse them. Brother Abdullah, Ibn Hussein, and those brothers over there, may Allah give them the khair of the dunya and the akhirah. That boy, his name was Sudais. He was a mixed race brother, would always come to me after the class, give me love. His little brother, Shakir. His older brother, his name is Shuraim. His father is Abu Abdullah from Ghana. He's an imam, leads people in the salat. Always had his kids in the masjid. And he himself, mashallah, adab, mashallah. So I got a message from him, and I listened to it, not expect, I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. Because I remember we were talking about someone who had died. I don't remember if it was the old head of America, Rashid. I don't remember who it was. But I said to you brothers, I said, someone is going to be the next one to die. Some one of us is going to die next. We don't know who it is, but someone here, and I'm going to say it again, right in this majlis, one of us is going to die before anybody else here. It may be me, and it may be you. And this is real. And you know, the way we talk about people is as if we don't even believe in Yawm al-Akhir, Yawm al-Qiyamah. Don't listen to that Quran. Don't do this. He's a deviant. Hey, man, we are going to be accountable and asked about our stuff. Someone is going to die here next. And it doesn't have to be the oldest one with gray hair. Doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be the one who's sick. Sudais was in that class. So it turns out, and Allah knows best, that Sudais was that one. And that statement was said a while ago. So I want to repeat it again. Someone's going to die here next. One of us is going to be next. The intelligent one is the one who says, that's going to be me. Let me get ready. I saw something on social media. I thought it was slick. I thought it was beneficial. It said that many people, because there were some Rolls Royces, like 15. I went with my wife, and we headed out to do our stuff on Sunday. Went to the gas station on Stratford Road by the pool, Spark Hill Pool. There's a Shell station right at the top of that road. We pull up in that chumpy, and when we went in there, there were white Rolls Royces up in there. It was about 12 of them. And the drivers were just out. I said to myself, you know, I want to go and take a picture with those Rolls Royces and stuff like that. I said, but I'm not doing that. That's not in an edup. I'm not doing that. But I was looking at the situation as we was waiting to get in the thing. And I read that thing. It said, many people, when they get married, they spend a lot of money and they do a lot of stuff to show off on their day of their wedding, spending all of that unnecessary money. Many of us, what we want to do is we want to make our houses really nice and we buy this and that. No problem with that. But the real place, and this is the point, the real place that the person should be trying to beautify is his grave. That's the one room that we own. Got your name on it. It's the one room, the ghurfa, that we all own, that we should be trying to beautify that qabr. Beautify how? Because people take that literally in Brazil and in Africa. You ever see those Africans dancing with the coffin? You ever see that? That's istihza. They be dancing. Now, I know Africans, black people, we got rhythm and stuff like that, and we like to, but that's mayam bagihada. In Africa, in South America, people build their graves as if they're coming back to live in those graves, and they spend a lot of money for that. No. Last thing is, this boy, Sudais, was only 16 years old. He went with his sister to Germany. While in Germany, he went swimming, and his father sent me videos of him swimming. The water was only up to his knees. I saw him swimming under the water, and his head was up. Then he stood up, and the water was up to his knees. And I'm thinking, I'm like, how did the father send this? I'm thinking he's going to drown. I'm thinking I'm going to see it. I don't want to see that. Did you guys see the video recently in Australia where the three boys were arguing and they split up and because one had a knife and they split and they were going their different ways? We say in America, he brought his fists to a knife fight. He brought his fist. That dude got a knife, man. Don't be bringing your fist. And don't be watching them clips where the dude tell you how to unarm someone with a knife. You know how you deal with a knife? Get in the wind and run the other way. What's wrong with you? Anyway, they split. The man would have had his life. Just keep going, let it go. But he brought testosterone to the fight. He brought his chest to the fight. One of them put his face out, and the guy just missed him. But the way the guy swung at him, the dude who did that, he could tell, this guy ain't playing around. And he backed up. But the big dude came, put his chest there, and that guy said, it didn't even look like, and as soon as you saw that blood squirting like that, you know, that's done. And then the life was just, and I hate those kinds of situations because what's going through your mind? Gonna think of my little boy, Shaybatul Hamd, I'm not gonna see him again. My life is done. Is this a dream? Now this is real. You're about to meet your Lord over some nonsense. Over some nonsense. So I want to say to you, young brothers, our Jamaat, alhamdulillah, you the Shabab of the Masjid. Every ni'mah that you have, and from the ni'mah is Islam, and from the ni'mah is your life, it can be taken away from you in a matter of seconds, and it's gone. Baghtatan, and it's gone. Every ni'mah. You have a good wife, it's a ni'mah, she can be taken away. Your child can be taken away. My little man is laying on the bed eating peanuts. He was eating peanuts behind my back, eating peanuts. I turn around, he's laying down, playing, eating peanuts. At any moment, you, me, him, her, they, us, you choke. He's just eating, he's hungry, he's eating. He's tired, just wants to eat. He eat, the bone went down the wrong way. And he's gone, finished. And therefore, a tawbah for all of us. I begin with myself first, getting up for salat on time. Stop being oppressive. Stop acting like we're gonna live forever. This masjid has done that theme, take advantage of five before five, your youth before you get old. That is not just some kalam, some cool, hip, slick kalam. Nobody is promised tomorrow here. My man, Sudeis, my nephew, gone. Unbelievable. I said today, and I don't have a problem with crying, anything like that. I said today, I think I'm going to cancel that class because that little boy and his brother and the older one who I married off, I went to their house and married the older brother off. They gave me nice perfume, and I was close with that family. Mixed race brothers, mashallah. They used to have their hair out like that. And I used to ask them, why you have your hair like that? And they would give me intelligent answers, so I would leave them alone. I would leave them alone. So brothers, we want to make dua for that boy, Sudeis. I don't know if they're going to do a, what do you call those things? To get money, what's that thing called? Huh? What? Fundraiser, what is it called? GoFundMe. If they're going to do that, then we should come up with that dough here in the masjid. This masjid, I hope, is going to take care of all of that dough. Recently, our brother Ismail Beaumont. You guys heard of Ismail Beaumont? Right before our very eyes, that man deteriorated. Remember I talked about the Sheikh Ali Al-Harabi. When I went to Jordan, I did not know that was my last time I'm going to be with the Sheikh when I was in his library. If I knew that, I'd have stayed longer. I would have stayed longer. I'd have stayed until he said, you gotta go, Abu Usama. But I left not trying to be heavy on him, similar to that as Ismail Beaumont. And this dunya, last time I saw Ismail Bumad, I had to be making either Hajj or Umrah. I think it was Umrah in Ramadan because it was a lot of people on Safa and Marwa. Going from Safa to Marwa. He was on that side and I was up. And I was just looking at the crowd coming. And lo and behold, there was Ismail Bumad walking towards Marwa. But what was he doing? He was pushing his father in a wheelchair, and he had cancer. And it was in the late stages. I couldn't believe it. And I know that he was sick because he had lost a lot of weight, and I saw the videos, and I was staying in touch with him. I saw that cat put the last time I saw him in the dunya. He was pushing his father in a wheelchair from Safa to Marwa. I caught him, gave him salams. And the manzar, the optic, was so captivating that I turned around and I followed and I just watched him until he went all the way up there. I made dua for that man. Now, Ismail, as relates to this dunya, is no more. I won't see him again. Not in this dunya. When I see his works, I see those works. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to put his juhud and his mawazin of hasanat. They just pray for that brother on Friday past. This is what we wanted to present to you, brothers, in the way of advice. The remembrance benefits the believers. You young brothers, all of you. Life is a gift. Don't waste it. Don't waste it by being lazy and not producing anything, and don't waste it by always playing around. Build something and plant something for your tomorrow, inshallah. So as the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you live this life, don't act as if you're going to remain until the evening. And when the evening comes on you, don't act as if you're going to remain and be here till tomorrow. Go to bed with wudu. Pray one rakat of witr. If you can do more than that, for bi wa ni'ma. Tomorrow is Monday. Try to fast on Monday. Try to be a person who leaves your beard because it's easy. Things like that. Things that there's no taklifa in it. Doesn't cost you anything. Try to be a better person as it relates to your tongue. Don't talk so much like that. And when you talk, try only say that which is good. Keep yourself in the remembrance of Allah to the best of your ability. Saying la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah over and over and over every time you do it. A tree is planted for you in Jannah. A tree is planted for you in Jannah. Al-Imam Ibn Khuzaymah, one of the great scholars of Al-Hadith, he said he doesn't know any hadith that has more rewards than the hadith of Friday. من غسل واغتسل وبكر وابتكر ومشى ولم يركب ودنا من الإمام واستمع كتبت له بكل خطوة يخطوها أجر سنة قيامها وصيامها. Anybody who on Friday, every Friday, he makes ghusl, and he washes his hair. He washes his body and he washes his hair. Or the one who is married, he makes a full ghusl and he has relationships with his wife Thursday night before Friday. And he leaves early to the masjid. Not at the last moment when the malaika close the scrolls. He walks to the masjid. He comes close to the imam. He listens to the imam. If he does those four things, for every step that he took to the masjid, right step and left step, for every step that he took, he'll get the reward of fasting for 1 year and making qiyamul layl for 1 year. The right step and the left step. So if he's coming from Imperial Roll, if he's coming from Momo's, if he's coming from wherever, he's going to take 1,000 steps, 800 steps. For every step, he fasted a year. And he made Qiyam al-Layl a year. And you won't be able to do that except with the tawfiq of Allah. So make dua for that. And also, being around people going to help you. We're going to stop here, inshallah, no questions, no anything like that. What time is salat? What time is the adhan for Isha? The adhan. Huh? 5 past? 5 minutes left. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Don't forget, إخواني, the clear Quran. Check it out.